fight some gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
In peace, as he spoke to I had no doubt, no fear, no dread. I'll still be standing, telling my story, says the score. Whoa, I am safe thus far.
Glad to be here this morning. I want to say again, I really appreciate the church, and I appreciate the surprise. You really got me. And I'll try my best not to get in the spirit and kick this flower pot, because if I do, my wife will never believe the Lord was in it. You got your Bible this morning. We're going to be reading in the 27th chapter of Matthew. And just going to try to bring something to you that's on my heart, something that I've been kind of studying on for a while. And let's just you say, well, it's all, you know, kind of like we're talking in Sunday school. It's, you know, and I really enjoyed Sunday school this morning. You're missing a blessing if you don't come to Sunday school. You know, I love the Word of God, and there's a verse over there in the book of Psalms where David wrote, he said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I love to sit down and get to studying, and God just, it's just like you've never read it before. He just shows you something, and you know, that's really sometimes the way that it is. I sat there this morning, and we were talking about Joseph, and I really enjoyed the types and shadows as they were brought out, and we begin to see how the Old Testament really just points to the New. But I've been studying about Joseph myself, but it was a whole different direction. And I sat there and I thought, you know, how much there is if we're just willing to open our hearts and our minds. But I really enjoyed the service so far, and I'm thankful that we have a Lord that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I've thought a lot about it in you know, just looking at my own life. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but whatever it is, I want to walk with the Lord. And He's brought me to this point, and we've got to believe that He'll take us all the way. You know, we do have a lot to pray about. Let's continue to pray for all those, Lord, that are on our prayer list. And Miss Brittany Edson is in critical condition at Grady. Let's pray for her. She was in a car wreck Thursday afternoon about 4 o'clock, was ejected from the car. And we want to be praying for her and praying for many others. I mean, if I were to try to go through them all, we'd be here for an hour, because we got a prayer list that's long. If you would, rise to your feet. Let's read in the Matthew chapter 27. We want to start reading in the 15th verse, and Lord willing, we'll read down to the 22nd verse. And this is obviously very familiar scripture, but I want to present something to you, a question this morning in a message. It says, "Now at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner named or called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And here's the title of a message this morning. It's what are you going to do with this man called Jesus? And let us pray. Lord, we're thankful, God, to be in your house this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for your sweet Holy Spirit that lets us know that you are present and, Lord, that we belong to you. God, I pray that you'd send that spirit, Lord, of conviction into this building. Lord, bind every devil of hell, every demon spirit, run them out of here. God, give us liberty to preach. God, if there's somebody here that's lost, they'd hear these words and they'd realize the most important decision that they will ever make in their life is whether or not they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, we're just here for a little while and then we'll be gone. And we're going to spend eternity, Lord, in heaven or in hell. This is what the Bible teaches. Lord, this is what we believe. And God, we speak these words and ask for your help, asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you just loose us and let us go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to read that 22nd verse unto you again. It said, Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Now, I begin to think about that, and I thought about this title. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Now, it's very important. Sometimes I think people go through life and they do their very best not to think about certain things. You know, there are certain things that I don't like to think about. There are certain things that I don't like to deal with. There are some things that I just don't really want to have to deal with in my life. But the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what tomorrow is even going to bring us. We don't know what surprises. We don't know what's around the next corner. But one thing is sure, without a shadow of a doubt, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, if you look historically at the past and you just look at our world, it's evident that Jesus Christ lived. Okay, well, he was, you know, he's written about in the Bible, but you can find secular writings that more support Jesus Christ than even any other historical creature or person that you might read about. Jesus lived and he walked upon this earth. And he lived a life that impacted more people than any other person that's ever lived. And when he walked upon this earth and he came and he fulfilled the scriptures, they didn't see that he was fulfilling the scriptures. Or maybe it was because their hearts and their minds were closed to those things. The scriptures paralleled in the book of Mark chapter 15 and verse 12, where it said, Pilate answered again unto them and said, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? You know, what we really need to do is stop for just a few minutes, and I'm going to get into this in just a minute, and look inside of our hearts and really ask the question, what have I done with Jesus? You know, what is he to you this morning? What does he mean to you when someone mentions his name? Do you call him Lord and Master, or you just kind of pass it off? You know, a lot of people say, you know, when you ask them the question, and I know a person that's this way, have you ever tried to witness to somebody and you want to know that they're okay because you care about them and you love them? And you ask them the question, you know, if you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Is everything all right in your heart and life? Have you made everything all right with the Lord? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? And here's the only response they want to give you. I'm all right. I'm all right. Well, what does that mean? Now, I want us to look at this scripture, and I want you to see what they did with Jesus. Number one, what did the Jews do with Jesus? What did the Jews do with Jesus? You know, there's a lot of Christians today that have a vent or an ought against the Jews because of what they did with Jesus. But I want to tell you before I get into this morning, you need to stop long enough to think about what you've done with him before you condemn somebody else or what they've done with him. Who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb? Who drove the nails into his hands? Who pierced his side? I'm telling you that it was all of us because he hung on a cross and died like a criminal between thieves so that you and I could have life. What did the Jews do with Jesus? In Luke chapter 23, verse number 23 to 25, and it says, they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. This is speaking of the Jews. It says, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. The chief priest was there. The scribe was there. The Pharisee was there. It says, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now here's something he said, and we read it just a minute ago. It was customary at the feast of the Passover that they would release one prisoner. And they had Jesus, whom he knew that they had brought for envy, and there were false accusations, and it was known that there were false accusations. And when they tried him and looked at him, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. What will you have me do with him? They said, crucify him. He said, well, who do you want released? It's almost like this. Let me pick the worst criminal that we have and let me set him up in front of them and surely they'll choose Jesus. You see, Barabbas was guilty of murder and of robbery. And there were two others there, the malefactors, that were probably guilty along with Barabbas. But maybe Barabbas was the worst. I think that he was the worst. Because the truth is, if we look at this story, Barabbas represents you and me. And what did they do with Jesus? Jesus, who was guilty of no sin. He was the Savior. He was the Son of God. He was the Redeemer. He was the Master. He was the Lord. When they went and they looked for something that he had done wrong, what did they find? They found a blind man named Bartimaeus that said, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. Just let me tell you what he did for me. They found a little girl who was taken in adultery. And they had rocks in their hands. And they were going to kill her. And Jesus stooped down and he wrote in the sand. And we don't know exactly what he wrote, but we know it was enough. That from the eldest to the least, when he rose and he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That they begin to drop their rocks. And you heard the stones hitting the ground. And this little girl that was also just like you and me, she looked up. And he said, where are those thine accusers? Who condemneth you? And she said, no man, Lord. She said, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This was Jesus. This is all they could find to accuse him of. But they chose Barabbas, guilty of murder, guilty of robbery, and a type of the world. And what they did with Jesus, by doing what they did, they had to reject all of the prophecies. You see, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests were there. They knew what the scriptures said and what would come to pass. The scriptures that told that he would be born of a virgin. The scriptures that told of where he would come from, that he would go to Nazareth. The scriptures that told that he would come riding on a colt and they would lay the palm branches down for him. But they rejected them. They rejected the prophecy. You know, the scribe was responsible for penning the Word of God. And when they penned the Word of God, when they were writing it, and they didn't have copy machines and computers like we do, as they were writing, if there was one mistake, if there was one T not crossed properly, if there was one I not dotted, they would have to tear the whole page and start over because it had to be perfect. That's why when Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew, he said, not one crossing of the T or one dotting of the I will pass from the law. Jesus fulfilled the law in his presence upon the earth. They rejected the prophecy. They also rejected the words of the forerunner. You see, the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, they would have known in Micah where it talked about that there would come one before him preparing the way of the Lord. They rejected the preaching of John the Baptist. And he said he's the one. And they rejected the word of God. In John 1:1, and this is familiar scripture, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And I like this thought. There had never been a preacher or a man walk the face of the earth when he spoke that spoke with as much power as Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, when he spoke about John the Baptist, he said, "Of those born of women, there's never been one greater. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." But when Jesus walked upon the earth and he fulfilled the scripture over in Isaiah where it said he would set captivity captive and he would set the captives free and he would release prisoners from the prison, when he spoke, it was words of thunder coming out of his mouth. It was power. And they rejected the living Word of God. That's what the Jews did with Jesus. When they rejected Jesus, they rejected him as prophet. Now, a prophet is a speaker of truth. There had never been a greater prophet walk the face of the earth. All the prophecies that were made of the prophets of old, and I've been studying about some of those lately, they got those words directly from God. But this man was God, and they rejected him as prophet. They rejected him as priest. And here's what the priest would do. The priest would intercede on behalf of the people. He would go before God for the people. But Jesus came so that you and I could go directly to God the Father. And we only have to go through Him. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to sit in a closet and whisper through a wall. I can go home and get in my closet. I can ride down the road and I can talk to a God that always hears me. No matter what shape I'm in. You know, sometimes when I pray, I'm not in too good shape. You know, sometimes I'm not fit. And I come before the Lord. Could you imagine going before God to beg your petitions? And God looking at us and our sin and our shame. God is holy. He's holy, holy, as it's written in Isaiah. The reason we pray in Jesus' name is we cannot pray in our own name. We're not worthy, but Jesus is worthy. And when God looks at us, He sees us through the veil of Jesus Christ. They rejected Him as priest. The priest intercedes to the Father on behalf of His children. They rejected Him as king. They wouldn't bow. And sometimes I think this is the biggest problem today, is people are absolutely not willing to bow. It's like this. They say, "We will not have this man to rule and to reign over us." I want you to understand something. You have no guarantee that you'll make it through the day, much less for tomorrow. You have no guarantee that you'll ever get that 401k. You have no guarantee that you'll ever make it home, that you'll make it to the restaurant. And you know, everything that I have, if I have it at all, it's because God gave it to me. And if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to give Him my life. I'm going to bow before Him. I'm going to accept Him as King. I'm going to praise Him. And I'm going to let Him be King of my life. And He's king, but they rejected Him as king. They wouldn't have Him rule over them. They wouldn't bow. By rejecting Jesus and choosing Barabbas, who is a type of the world, here's what they rejected. They rejected mercy. They rejected grace. They rejected truth. You know, there were seven cries from the cross. One place, Jesus said, "If they do these things in a green tree, what will be done in the dry?" You know, when they were standing there and Pilate said, "I'm not going to have this man's blood on my hands." And here's what they said. They said, "Let his blood be upon our hands and upon our children." And I want to tell you something. I don't just come here on Sunday morning to preach because I love to preach. I do love to preach. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of times I'll be at home and I'll be tired and I won't feel good and the flesh will be working on me, and I'll walk in there at night and I'll look at my two little boys sleeping and I'll see them and I'll say, God, I don't want their blood on my hands. I want to do what God wants me to do because this life is short. But what did the Jews say? They said, let His blood be upon us and upon our children. Do you know that if you don't live for God, your kids are watching you? They're watching you to see what you're going to do with Jesus. He said, well, I don't want Him. They're watching you. By rejecting Jesus, they rejected mercy, they rejected grace, they rejected truth. And by choosing Barabbas, who's a type of the world, they chose trouble. See, they chose murder. They chose sedition. They chose robbery. And for a period of almost 2,000 years, what happened? They roamed the face of the earth, persecuted, rejected by every people and every tribe. And there are people today, well, what's anti-Semitism? It's a spirit of hate toward the Jews. And it's still common all over the world today, but I want to tell you something. As Christians, we need to read God's Word. God's Word tells us that we ought to pray for the peace of Israel. And God's Word says that He will bless those that bless them. And we need to understand it, that those are God's chosen people. And this might have happened, but look where they're at today. A nation born in a day. Scripture fulfilled, that we might be joined together. And we need to pray for them. So what did they do? They rejected Him and they crucified Him. Furthermore, when He rose from the grave, it didn't stop. It didn't stop. When He rose from the grave, they made up lies about Him. Here's what they said. Matthew 28 and verse 12. It says, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, His disciples came by night and stole Him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, if you've ever studied, and I sometimes study for Easter messages, and I begin to study about the resurrection of Christ. Do you know that in our colleges today, they're very secular, a lot of them, and they mock at Christianity. They mock at the resurrection. But I want to tell you something that happens to them when they really begin to study it. Because I've read these books. There's a book entitled, Who Moved the Stone? They begin to set out to prove that Jesus did not rise from the grave. And the more they study, the deeper they dig, the more investigating they do, they realize that every approach that they have, it's like attacking an island that's surrounded by coral reefs. You cannot tear the story down. Because there's nothing in history to prove anything else. They rejected Him. Now, I love apologetics. Apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith. I didn't get saved because of apologetics. I got saved because I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit. But as I've gotten older, I find that there's plenty of tangible evidence to support what I believe as a Christian that's written into the Word of God. And you study about that, the resurrection. Folks, the tomb was empty. All the disciples, they were together and they stuck together all the way to the end. None of them gave up. They all died. Because, can you imagine? They saw Him. He walked. And He came to where they were. They were in a room and He came right through the wall. And He came and He sat down with them. You said, well, I don't believe that. One day you will. What did the Jews do with Jesus? What did the soldiers do with Jesus? Let's look at what the soldiers did. In Matthew 27, verse 27 to 31, it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on His head. And a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him, and they mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon Him, And they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him, and they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. I don't like suffering. I don't think you do too. Don't think so. Don't like it when troubles come. And sometimes the truth is, in the flesh, I begin to look for God. But I want you to see some suffering. They took Jesus after he had been beaten mercilessly. They ripped his own robe off, and they took and they threw a scarlet robe on him on the top of his wounds. They platted a crown of thorns, and they pushed it down into his head. Then they began to put a reed in his hand as if to mock him, as if it were his scepter. And they began to mock and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they took the reed and they began to slap him in the face with it. And if you read through other accounts, I mean, the Old Testament gives us pictures into what happened to Jesus. The Scripture says they plucked out his beard. They plucked it out. They spit upon him. They smote him on the head with the reed. You know, I've heard some people, sometimes it's Christians, you know, and they say, "Well, I'll let somebody walk on me for the cause of Christ, but if you say anything against me and it's not for the cause of Christ, I'll stomp you." They say, "Well, if you spit on me, you got to fight." Folks, Jesus took it all for you. He took it all for you. There was no limit to what he was willing to accept because he loves you. Then they took his garments. They cast lots for his garments. And I want you to look at the 36th verse of Matthew 27. It says, "And sitting down," this is speaking of the soldiers, says, "and sitting down, they watched him there." After they had done all these things to him and they had nailed him on a cross and the cross had fell into the hole, they just got over there together and they sat down and they watched him. They made sport of him. It was like watching a show. You know, they didn't have television and games and all like we do. This was their entertainment. The entertainment of the soldiers was watching the death show. Watching Jesus die. And as I looked at that and I thought about what the Jews did to Jesus and I thought about what the soldiers did to Jesus, there were people passing by too. What about the passers-by? People are still passing by. The passers-by in Matthew 27:39 says, "And when they that passed by, they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." You know what they're saying today? "Well, if he's God, why isn't this happening? If he's God, why isn't that happening? If he's God, why is that happening over there and why is that over there?" You know, sometimes I look and I say, "God, where are you?" We were talking this morning about some of the travesty that's going on in our country. And sometimes we question, "God, where are you?" I want you to know that I believe with all my heart the only thing that's keeping America here, the only thing that's keeping this world here, is the long-suffering and mercy of God. So that somebody would be able to hear a message about Jesus and not die lost. That's mercy. So where's God? I'll tell you where he's at. He's on the right hand of the Father making intercession and praying for you. Praying that you would not die lost. They wagged their heads. They reviled him. They did not believe. They did not receive because they did not see and they did not hear. Then what did the malefactors do? There were two criminals, remember? One on the one side and the one on the other. In Luke 23:39, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If you be the Christ, save thyself and us." See, one of the malefactors rejected him and mocked him. But in verse 40 and 43 of Luke chapter 23, it says, "But the other, answering, rebuked him." He rebuked the other malefactor, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, guilty. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did Jesus say? He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, here we are, we're guilty. We're guilty. And so often people are in the presence of God and they still reject Him. They turn away. It's because they're simply not willing to bow and allow Him to be prophet, priest, and king in their lives. But I want you to look at these two malefactors. That day, both of those men died, along with Jesus. You see, they came, the soldiers in crucifixion, what they would do is they would come to those on the cross because they didn't want them hanging the next day. And they come to them and they took a big stick and they broke the legs of the one on this side. And they come over to this one and they broke his legs. The reason they would break their legs is so that they could not push themselves up to exhale oxygen. Because the way you die of crucifixion is you can inhale, but you cannot exhale. But your scripture says they came to Jesus and he was alive. He was already dead. Well, why is that? That's just another prophecy fulfilled, because the scripture says that not one of his bones will be broken. Amen. Folks, the word of God supports itself. These two men died. And they died that day beside Jesus. And Jesus died for them. And one accepted it and one rejected it. And here's what happened. And I don't like this. Don't even like preaching about this. But folks, one of them went to heaven. One of them went to hell. If we believe the word of God, that's what happened. Now I want to ask you, what will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to be like the Jews and say, I'm not going to accept him as prophet, as priest, or king in my life. I don't want anything to do with him. Away with him. Crucify him. And let his blood be upon me and upon my children. Are you going to do that? That's what the Jews did. Are you going to be like the soldiers? And you're just going to stand back and you're going to mock him and watch the show? That's why some people come to church. They watch the show. You know, they'll come when they want. They'll come when they don't want. But it's nothing to them. When I come into the house of the Lord, I'm coming to worship my God and my Father. I'm coming to praise His name. I love to hear singing. I love to see people get moved on by the Holy Spirit and they just get so full. I like it. I love it. I like to be filled up. And I look at these soldiers. Do you know that while these soldiers were sitting there watching the death show, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at a distance? And she was weeping for her son. Oh, that was her baby boy. But it was also her heavenly Father. I don't understand that. Believe the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. Let God save you and He'll teach you. Then you had this other Mary that washed His feet with her tears. I don't know what you believe, but I believe that she was there with Mary. And I believe she was comforting her. And I believe that Jesus was on the cross when His mother came by and John came and He looked at His mother and He looked at John and He said, behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son. I believe from that point forward, John took care of her just like it was his own mother. Are you going to be like those that pass by? And people do every day. You know, they pass by, they drive down the road and they say they're in there. You know, they say they're doing it again. They're in there doing it again. They're at church again. And they pass by. You know what? As if they're going to live forever. It's as if they have absolute control of their future, their destiny, their life, and they're immortal. Folks, you're not. One thing that's I'm very aware of as I get older is I don't know how much longer I'm going to have. And one thing that I ask the Lord for, whether it be a day or a week or 10 years or 20 years, God, I want to live it for you. I want to serve you. I want to be faithful. I want to preach the truth. Lord, I want to serve you. If it means that you want me to do whatever it is, I want to serve the Lord. I don't want to be like the passersby. And if I look at these malefactors, one mocked. The other one, he said, we indeed justly. We're guilty. And here's the truth. We've all sinned. Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. You know, even the best person that you know struggles. Even the best person that you know, they've got things in their life that they just need God's help with. Folks, I do. I'm conscious of it every day. And as I heard somebody mentioning about walking in consciousness of your life, I try to honestly, as a preacher and as a dad and as a husband, to walk consciously of everything that's going on around me. Because I want to serve God. I don't want to make a mistake and my testimony be tarnished. But I want to tell you the truth. I live in a house of clay. And I might stand up here today and I'm the preacher today, but this is just a lot that God's given me. It's a calling that's on my life. And what I want to tell you this morning, and we're going to have an invitation in just a minute, I want you to come ahead and get ready, is there's nothing more important in your life than what you do with this man called Jesus. You can go out here today and you can be like one of these other groups and say, well, I'm just going to put it off. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to hear it. I don't want nothing to do with it. You don't know what tomorrow's going to be. They may call me tonight and say, I need you to come. Because that person that walked out and rejected, they've come to the end of their line. I want you to know there's nothing more important than you'll do. And you think, well, I'm going to do this in my life, and I'm going to do that in my life. And, you know, I've got boys that sometimes I think about this. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I've honestly prayed. I said, God, I want to live long enough to see my boys grow up. I want to live long enough to see them, you know, go through school and get an education and become men. See, because I know being my age and them being their age, I'm not going to see great-great-grandchildren. I'm not going to be here. And you're not going to be here. About however much time I have, I want to live it for God. And I think about those things and I pray about those things this morning. Not because of what I said, but because of what the Holy Spirit has spoke to you. You must think about what you're going to do with this man called Jesus. As we sing this song, this is your special invitation to come and to meet Jesus for yourself. And when you do, you'll know that what I'm telling you is absolutely for real. That's why we're here. We didn't come from nothing to turn into something. We are created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Made to go and be with Him in heaven. We're just here for a short time. If God spoke to you, say stand. Would you stand to your feet? And I want to tell you, please come while the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. Please come. You may not have tomorrow. Jesus. What are you going to do with this man called
when
Jesus?
When you're on your knees daily, for your son or daughter, when you're sitting by a deathbed, and your faith begins to falter, pour out your sorrows through tears. You're waiting for words from the voice you long to hear. Still small voice in your time of need, the word of the Lord will come. God will bring strength and hope, healing in the word of the Lord will come. You are have cried for so long. You are weak and you're discouraged. You're barely holding on. But He heard you the time you called. Mm-hmm. He who promised will deliver. He won't let you fall. The word of the Lord will come. God will speak with a voice of love and never-ending peace. The word of the Lord will come. God brings strength and hope, healing in His wings. The word of the Lord will come.
Listen in the tragedy, trust while you
put up saved, play saved. Can y'all sing that, please? We're thankful for the Lord. It's all about Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. And, you know, they're going to sing this song. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs. They might get tired of singing it. I don't get tired of hearing it. I'm saved. I'm gloriously, miraculously saved by the grace of God. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I've done anything. It's because Jesus and what He's done. Now, we're opening the doors of the church at this time. If you want to be a part of this church, God's doing things here. It's not because this is a good church. This is the kind of church you can say, y'all come to my church. It's a good church. So if you want to be a part of this church as they sing a song, we'd invite you to come and join.
Creator of heaven and earth, He is Lord of all humanity. And He rules by His word. He is King of all the ages, the first and the last. I'm His child by mercy, forgiven from my sinful past. He is a crying Savior, bruised, shamed, and despised. He is a great Redeemer, giving victory and life. He is the risen conqueror, setting my captive spirit free. And I love Him, yes, I love Him, because He first loved me. When I see who He is, I'll realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in His hands. My ears have heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn up from His grace. I'm in incredibly, miraculously saved.
He's my friend and gentle shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother, and the rock I lean upon. He is my Abba Father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on His goodness, lost but for His blood. When I see who He is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever reach so far and place me in His hands. My ears have heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn away from His grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who He is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy one would ever reach down far and place me in His hands. My ears have heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn away from His grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
This is Jason and Lori and little Bailey, Blankenship. They've come to join the church. They're going to join my statement of faith, Lori and Jason. Want to move, we accept them. Move in a second. All in favor, raise your right hand. Praise the Lord. And we are glad to have them with us. Jason is a good guitar player and singer, and he sang for us. I heard him up here one night with Celebrate Recovery, sang several songs, really enjoyed it. Kind of inspires my son. I'm amazed at how my son is chasing that guitar. It's so much better than drums. It's so much better than drums. Okay. Well, we appreciate y'all coming. We do. Two announcements, and then we're going to go back to the back, and we're going to go out here, and you can shake hands with them as you come out. Remember, next Sunday night, we're having Fall Festival here. Now, you invite people to come, and you come. Bring your kids. Let's have a good time. Let's just bring people. Invite people that maybe wouldn't have come another time. Then November the 2nd, we're going to have ordination here, and Brother Larry Hart's going to be bringing the charge to his son. And I want you to pray for him. We're looking forward to that. We thank the Lord for what God's doing here. Amen. Right.